I'm not Martin Luther, but I'll do the best I can. If you haven't ever read Martin Luther's commentary on Galatians, you ought to get it. Guy was powerful. They named a church after him. I don't know what shape it's in today. I was raised in it. It wasn't in great shape when I started, but it did get me where I was going, you know. God got me. Somehow or another, God got me, and thank God for Luther. Amen. How many know Pastor Jim came to my church in 1969? Well, you do. He came to your church too. Amen. Eric and I were in confirmation class together, and actually, but it was before all that. We were throwing dirt together when they was building the building. Yeah, we started out in the shopping center. Praise the Lord. Then Jim, it was his first job. He came down to be his first full-time pastor job. You know, he came down to Texas and got out of Buffalo. Out of Buffalo, New York. Dave wasn't even around then. Cara was a basketball in Peggy's belly when they arrived. She was almost born. And when they got here, she was born. My mom and her husband are, not her first husband, obviously. My mom and her husband were Jim's first wedding at that church. So it's kind of interesting. It's all things. God's working all things for His glory. Amen. So we've been together a long, long time. And it's really powerful. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read, because this is really a narrative, and I'm going to read the first couple of chapters, and then we're going to get into some things. All right? So I don't know how long it's been since you basically read the first two chapters of Galatians, but it's good historical rendition by the Apostle Paul. It's Paul himself describing his conversion and his first days with the Lord. So it's powerful to read and powerful to take these things in and to see how the Lord ministered to him. And I'm going to, by and large, read through it without much comment. And then we'll get into some of it once we get toward the end of chapter 2. Father, we just thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord God, that as Tim shared this morning, we thank You for the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us, who lives in us, who changes us, and transforms us. And Father, we thank You that this word and these letters, which were penned by the apostles, were inspired by your Holy Spirit and Your word, as was the rest of the Scripture. Holy men of old wrote down what was given to them by God as those words of Scripture, those words which were to be written down and kept and to be passed on from generation to generation, so that the revelation of the kingdom of heaven might be made in the earth. So we give You praise and thanks for it. Father, we thank You that even in the days of the judges, where men did all things, everything that was, every man that was right in his own eyes, Father, we thank You that You have revealed Your word to your people and given it so that it may be revealed to the entire world. And just as Tim accidentally opened up that Bible, led by the Holy Spirit, and was transformed. This word transforms and changes. It's miraculous. The power of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Word of God is not what you read just to figure out what to do. Okay? Amen. Let's see. What do I do today? Close your eyes and point. That's worked once in a while for the ignorant. But it doesn't work for you. Amen? It doesn't work for those of you who have been walking in the way. God requires you to open the Word and let it transform you and change you. Let it transform you. Just like we read Psalm 119. That's the most, I love that psalm. Everybody can tell you that because I say it all the time. Is it changes you because that word, he exalts his word. He exalts his word. So you need to take advantage and avail yourself of that word. You can't just come to prayer meeting. You can't just come to Bible study. You can't just come to a fellowship meeting. You have to be in his word. You have to let his word roll around on the inside of you. Amen? I mean, these words were given, they were preached, and then they were written down. The scriptures before these scriptures, before the New Testament scriptures, these are the ones that Jesus preached out of because they revealed him. And then he began to share those scriptures and to reveal what he had been called to do. Amen? So the scriptures were always written by God. It's not like, well, we didn't have anything until we had the New Testament. Not true. Everything that Paul preached, we're going to look at this in a minute. Everything that Paul preached was a result of the Holy Spirit touching the Word of God that was already on the inside of him. Amen? I mean, you know, Tim had Word on the inside of him. The Holy Spirit hit it and it lit. It's like gasoline. Amen? When the Holy Spirit touches the Word of God and reveals it, it's like gasoline. It just starts a fire. Amen? So fill yourself. Be filled. He says, be constantly being filled with the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Everybody say richly. Not ridgely. Richly. People in Fort Worth get confused sometimes. All right. Amen. Let's look at Galatians. I'm going to read out of the King James. It's kind of a modified King James, actually. This one takes out these and thous, but it's just mechanical. It's not retranslated. All right. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me to the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. It's not a gospel. It's not good news. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so I say I now again, if any preach any other gospel to you other than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation, my life's manner of living in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, destroyed it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Sounds like Tim's testimony. Because you were separated from your mother's womb. To reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. I went the other direction. I didn't go down to the church. I went out into the wilderness. And I returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But of the other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. That's the same guy that wrote the book of James, right? Not the brother of John. Now the things which I write to you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown face to face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. They had never seen me before. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Well, thank God for that. That's a good report. That guy who was killing us, he received Jesus. Amen. Amen. Then 14 years, my goodness, that was 3 years. And then 14 years. This guy was a long time under discipleship, wasn't he? Under discipleship of the Lord. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. So after 3 years, he went and visited with Peter. And then after 14 years, he finally came back to Jerusalem. And you thought you were slow getting started in the ministry. 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. God showed me to go. God told me to go. And he communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, of who were big shots, lest by any means I should have run or had run in vain. In other words, I didn't go come into the middle of their church service and start preaching this and expect them to publicly agree with me, because they were stuck in a legalism. So those were of the muckety mucks in the church. That is, those were pillars in the church. Okay, well, we'll come. We'll meet in your house. We'll meet privately with you. So I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. So he'd been out preaching among the Gentiles for the last 14 years, but had not been back up to Jerusalem to preach among the Jews or the Jewish Christians. But privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should have run or had run in vain. In other words, they just deny it or run away or, you know, give him some time to let them be built up in faith and understand the truth of the gospel. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And so Titus wasn't, you know, they were going to try to get him to be circumcised. And Titus was like, nope. I've already heard the gospel and I'm all for the gospel because I'm not for being circumcised. How many guys would agree with that? Amen. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in, because they come in and were attempting to come in and subvert the meeting and say, well, you know, it's all well and good, but you should be circumcised. You should be keeping the law. You should be keeping the law. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty. What are they preaching? What are they preaching in there? Which we have in Jesus, our liberty, which we have in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Well, let's figure out how we can get them back under the fold. Figure out how we can get them back under the law. Because certainly keeping the law is desirable. Amen? Keeping the law is desirable. It's desirable that you would keep the law and not live after your flesh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to what? Fulfill the law. And he came to fulfill the law not only in himself, but you know what? By his death, resurrection, and empowering by the Holy Spirit, he came to fulfill the law in you, on the inside of you. But it's not, you know, you weren't doing a real good job before Jesus showed up, now were you? Say, no, I wasn't. Amen. I wasn't doing any job at all. Nothing that God could count. Amen. Because it was all built out of fear. That was all built out of works and strength. It wasn't because of your nature. God's not interested in having the law kept because he wants a law kept. He's interested in the law being kept through a nature that is born of him. Amen? Amen. He's not interested in having a list of chores done. He's interested in having the Holy Spirit and a people that are born of Him bring forth fruit that is born of Him. The fruit, He doesn't desire fruit that's brought forth, that's born of you. You're just not very good at bearing fruit. You're not built for it. Amen. But the Holy Spirit who resides on the inside of you is a fruit-bearing machine. Amen. He is a fruit-bearing machine. And you open the door by His Word and by prayer and by thanksgiving, and He manifests Himself in you day after day after day. But they were coming in to spy out their liberty because they were still living under law. They see, they had not heard the gospel. They heard Jesus died for your sins, but now that Jesus paid all your debts, you need to keep it up. You need to keep this thing going. He got you rolling, you got to keep it going. Put gas in that thing. Keep it going. Come on. You can do it, buddy. Come on, brother. So these guys came in privately to spy out our liberty. What are they preaching in there? That they might bring us into bondage. They didn't know they were doing that. You know, they were. You know, now some people are into it just because that's the nature of their ministry. You know, is to keep people under bondage, keep people giving, keep people. You know, you don't have if that's the basis of your ministry. It's like John Tetzel, the guy there during the Reformation, selling the indulgences to get mom and grandpa out of purgatory. You know, number one, that might have been a nice, sweet idea to you know, if you believe that's the case. But on the other hand, he was actually making dough out of the thing. You know, he was actually upcharging the indulgences. You know, he said, "Well, see, I buy these for so much, I have to get so much back to the church, and I can just add on a little bit." Does that remind you of anything? You remember Matthew in the book of, Levi, in the book of, there in Matthew. See, Matthew got saved. But he was a tax collector. He was not well thought of. Because the tax collectors they were Jewish people, but what they did, they went to work for the government. They went to work for the Romans, and the Romans said they had to collect so much, but if you worked for the Romans, you had to work morning, noon, and night. And well, then you didn't have time to make any money anywhere else, so then you're going to have to make money just off of the people that you're collecting taxes from. So you upcharge. Make a small profit for yourself. Now, they didn't mind that, but the Jews hated it. You know, your people hated you. You know, but Romans didn't care. As long as they got their cut, they were fine. And so basically, so here is that God is interested in the Holy Spirit doing all the work. He's not interested in you doing it. He's not interested in people who are telling you to do it and to keep the law. What He's interested in having the gospel preached. Okay, He says that these guys who wanted to spy out our liberty, that they might bring us into bondage, verse 5 now, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. We didn't even let them get up and talk. We didn't give them room. We didn't give them space to talk or to open their mouth. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seem to be something, whosoever they are, that makes no matter to me, God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be something in conference added nothing to me. I love these things. Paul's great. He's basically just these guys who appeared to be somebody. Well, I don't know who they were, but they weren't anything to me. Isn't that true of you? Amen? He said, be not, and Jeremiah says, be not afraid of their faces. God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. And there's some faces out there you might want to be afraid of. Amen? There's some faces out there that are not pretty. There's some faces out there that will disapprove of you. Maybe if you're in school, if you're in a public setting, if you're in work, there are some people who will not approve of your joy, approve of your declaration that, you know what, I think God will handle that for me. You know what, if you'll let me pray for you, I believe God will meet that need for you. Oh my gosh, don't say that. Because some of them will come to you privately like Gamaliel or Nicodemus, thank you. But of these who seem to be something, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be something in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel, that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was committed to Peter. Now what that is talking about is he's saying that the gospel to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, was committed to Paul. Paul had been called to that to minister to the Gentiles, to those who were outside the Jewish faith. Because Jesus coming into Jesus came not only for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. Amen? Some people even forget that, you know, that he came. How many know Jesus was a Jew? Anybody remember? Praise the Lord. He didn't just like show up, you know, unaffiliated. He was a Jew. And then how many know Peter was a Jew? Oh my goodness, I thought he was the first pope. I thought he was Catholic. You know, I thought Peter was Catholic. No, he was a Jew. James, John, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, Andrew, all the guys, Thomas, Judas. Judas was a man, fireball Jew, you know. Problem is some of the folks is that they followed Jesus until they figured out Jesus wasn't going to become king. You know, well, let's look for another guy. You know, if you're not willing, we'll get somebody else. We need somebody who's going to get the job done. Amen? So you try to force the issue. You know, so you bring all your guys to make sure that, force Jesus' hand, make him, okay, boom, I'm taking over. And Jesus didn't do that. He just let him arrest him and take him off and crucify him. Because he wasn't interested in taking over the world. What he's interested in is taking over the world one person at a time. He's interested in taking over you. Yeah. Amen? That's powerful. Bert, he's interested in just taking, he doesn't care about the world, he just wants Bert. Amen. And he'll make the whole world wait just for you. He's looking for you. Amen. So verse 8 in chapter 2, he said, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, you've got a spot you might not do as well in some spot as somebody else, but you've got your spot that God's got for you all set. He set up Peter to do the Jews. He set Paul up to do the Gentiles, and he set you up to do somebody else, your group, your neighbors, the folks you're with. Amen? He put you right in that place. Well, if I'd only be put in the right place. Well, normally you're in the right place. Amen? Praise God. Hanging out with those Bible study fellowship girls. I mean, you know, Norma just probably drives them crazy. You know? Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they don't know what's happening. But they did take her out to Red Lobster the other day on her birthday, so that was awesome. Praise God. Amen. Are you still 90 this year? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good. Amen. Y'all didn't really wish Norma a happy birthday. You may need to make sure. She's going to be 90 all year. Don't wait. I mean, she'll be 91 next year, so then you have to start all over. Whew! All right. You still mowing your own lawn? My gosh. Praise the Lord. I don't even mow my own lawn. Janet does. She claims it's cheaper than a gym membership. Amen. All right, now look here. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be heads of the church, the pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, the Gentiles, and that they would go to the circumcision. Only they had indicated that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do, planned to do. I remember the poor. But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is great. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Wow. Well, what'd he do? For he, before that certain came from James, James, the Lord's brother, we read about earlier, who was from the Jerusalem church, he did eat with the Peter would eat with the Gentiles. So before a bunch of guys came down from Jerusalem, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. You didn't do that. If you weren't free, now you have to remember Peter had this episode where he was had a dream. He was up on a housetop, had a dream, and these guys from the house of Cornelius came and got him. And see, they were from the Italian band. I don't know if that was a music band or if it was an army band. I think it was more like a military group, like a little troop. And so he went up there on the thing, and he said, "There's a bunch of guys going to come find you," and he said, "They're asking for you, and you go with them." So he went over to Cornelius' house and began to preach the gospel to those Gentiles right there. And of course, I'm sure they had food in that house. And he took a couple of his guys with him. And they were both looking at each other going, "Wow, should we eat here?" Because you didn't eat with Gentiles. If you're a Jew, you didn't eat with unbelievers. Amen? Now he took them over there and he began to preach the gospel, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, Tim. The Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the first. Now, he didn't say that they began to speak in other tongues, but he said he fell on them as on us at the first. And so the Holy Ghost fell upon those, and so Peter was like, "Wow, well, you know, hey, we got to baptize them now. They got filled with the Holy Ghost just like we did. God loves the Gentiles." But then here we are now, several years later, or months later, or years later, looks like. And he says, "For that before that certain came from James, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. But when James and his bunch from Jerusalem came down, he separated himself and withdrew himself from fellowship with the Gentiles." And of course, Gentiles were like, "What happened? What changed?" "And fearing they which were of the circumcision," fearing the Jews, who were still up under this law. There was a differentiation here, is that the Jews still were there were still Jewish believers preaching that you must keep the Hebraic law in order to be saved. "And the other Jews dissembled," that is, they mean they hypocritized, if that's a word, "likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was almost carried away with," and Barnabas was with Paul. Barnabas was Paul's guy. And Barnabas was almost carried away with this hypocrisy. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews do? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, listen to this now, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." Now, very interesting statement. We who are Jews by nature, who's a Jew by nature? Born a Jew, which would mean you're a descendant of whom? Abraham, who is the father of faith. We who are Jews by nature, thank you for that good answer, and not sinners of the Gentiles. We're Jews by nature. That is, we're children of Abraham. Remember, Jesus talked about children of Abraham. "Knowing that a man," and we know, if we're Jews by nature, we know this. We've been taught this. Father Abraham, father of faith. "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Not, if you're a Jew by nature, you know you're justified by faith. You're justified by faith. You're justified by faith. "Not by the works of the law. And ultimately by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we who have believed in Christ, Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You know, that's very powerful. Is that he's relating the faith of Jesus Christ to the faith of Abraham, to those who are Jews by nature. who, if they know their father Abraham, they know where righteousness comes from. It doesn't come from the law of Moses. It comes from the faith of Abraham. Isn't that neat? I mean, this is not new. This is not new. The righteousness which is by faith comes from Abraham. We've read that in Romans. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11. Romans chapter 4. Amen. This is exciting stuff. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I were to build up the law that I was, destroying, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. Through the law, I'm dead to it. I'm dead. Once the law hits me, I'm one thing and one thing only. Dead. Once the law hits me, it's not, well, get up and do it. It's like, you're dead. There ain't no doing. There is no doing. Once the law hits you, you're crucified, you're dead. You're over. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20. I am. Everybody say, I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, that notwithstanding, I live. So I'm crucified with Christ, but go figure. Somehow, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now listen to this. Well, let's back up on that one again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I'm dead, but now I'm living. How can that happen? I'm risen with Him. I'm dead with Him, and I'm risen with Him. Yet it's not me. How many know it's not you? I'm dead in Christ, but it's not me that liveth. Now, you do have a flesh that kind of keeps residualizing. Your flesh just kind of keeps hanging on. It's like a badly behaved puppy. Makes messes everywhere. Amen? How many know the flesh makes messes everywhere? But that flesh is not you. See, don't confuse the flesh of being transformed, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Amen? Your faith, your flesh is being transformed. Say, my flesh is being transformed. Remember the little, now some of y'all are old enough to remember this. There used to be a little button with the initials for the words, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. Now, I don't know if you can remember those initials right off the bat, but some of y'all do. It's just a little button you used to wear. And that was the truth, is that God is not finished with me yet. But I'm spending time in His presence. He's working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Clay, that's what's happening right now. That's what's happening right now in me. That's what's happening right now in Jackie. That's what's happening in TK right now, is He's working that which is well-pleasing in His sight as we come into His presence and worship Him, because I am crucified with Him. And nevertheless, I live, and the life that I now live, right now, in this same flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate, gosh, doggone it. Can you imagine the grace of God being frustrated? Stop it! Stop trying to do something in the flesh that you can't do and your flesh has no capacity to do. God will just work it in you. He's working in you. that which is, he's working in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I don't frustrate the grace of God, somehow believing that I'm going to keep up the good work. Amen? Anybody with me? Huh? Are you hearing this? I mean, are you mad at it? Golly, I thought I could do it. I thought, you know. Well, the thing is, if you do it, you get to decide when you do it. And you get to decide what you do. Amen? Now, I know you're going to hear from God, and you will hear from God, and you will move by faith according to God. But listen, here's the issue, is not to believe in any wise, John said this morning, that it's any wise you building up good works or marks or stars on the sheet, attendance, you know that you build up attendance points with God. You know why you don't have to have points? You know why? Because you're already accepted in the Beloved. You're completely accepted. He has nothing on against you whatsoever. He's not counting works on you. You're already in. You're already fully in. Hallelujah. Oh, foolish Galatians. I'm not going to redo the whole three. Don't worry. Oh, foolish Galatians. That means y'all. Who has put a spell on you? Who has done the hocus pocus on you? Played a trick on you that you should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes, right in front of you, Jesus Christ, has fully, evidently been set forth as crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Listen to that. Having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfected by the flesh? Jesus said he is the author, begun in the Spirit, and the finisher of your faith. And we are complete in him. I just want you to be excited today that you're complete in him and he's manifesting himself in you, that being crucified with Christ, that he is manifesting himself in you through his word and through his power, through his Spirit. Thank you, Tim, for being faithful to the Lord. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is working in you to manifest Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not manifesting himself. The Holy Spirit is manifesting Jesus. Amen? Amen. And he's using you with your face. Amen? Because people know you. And people may like you. They may not like you. But what you are is a demonstration of Christ. A demonstration of his mercy and his love. Because you don't hold things against people. Because you let them go. You set them free. Amen? You're not one that holds a grudge. You're not one that holds... See, if you did, that would be you. And I want you to know that if you're holding a grudge right now, don't condemn yourself. Amen? Don't condemn yourself. Just repent of it. Just say, Jesus, that's not you. That's me. And repent means I just turn from that. I turn from trust in that. You know, something you can't even really turn from stop doing what you usually have been doing. You know, it's hard to... It's like changing a habit. I'm in the habit of being mean to people. I'm in the habit of being having my own way. Anybody like me? You're in the habit of having things your own way. And so you kind of manipulate everything to go your way. Amen? That's flesh. But the thing is, turning from that is to agree with the gospel. It's not to stop doing something. It's to agree with the gospel and let the gospel transform you. Amen? You with me? Let the gospel do the work. Well, it doesn't seem, but don't worry about it. Let the gospel do the work. If you're 10, 12, 15, listen. Don't try to stop doing stuff. Let the Holy Spirit, let God do it, because when God does something, he did it for your blessing and for your benefit, to turn you into a vessel which will not only be a blessing, but be blessed. Amen? All of your needs are supplied. All of your needs are supplied. Don't sweat it. Don't sweat a thing. You are in the kingdom of heaven. You're living into the kingdom of heaven right now, standing here, sitting here in this place. You're living in the kingdom of heaven. Tomorrow morning when you get up and go, wherever you go, whatever you do, you're living and walking in the kingdom of heaven, because that's where your spirit is born of heaven. And so you're living in that kingdom day in, day out. And so get back to the Word, meditate upon these things day and night, no matter what troubles come your way. I am living in the kingdom of heaven. I am a gospel preaching machine. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen? Well, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah.
Thank you.